Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, Monday before Christmas, and we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? And we've been talking about success and our purpose and how if we are letting other people set those standards for us, if we're letting other people decide what is success for us and what our purpose is, we have basically allowed someone else to hold God's place in our lives because He is our success and He is our purpose. And that's already been accomplished in our lives. So that's one of the reasons we can enter into that rest, is because we have already achieved everything that we need to in achieving any kind of success or deserving approval or any kind of credit. We've already achieved everything we need as far as our relationship with God. And that as far as our purpose here on this earth, it is to learn to depend on Him through the three main ways of getting to, He exposes our flesh so He can overcome it. He brings us healing. We learn how to be healed by Him, go to Him to get healing. And we learn how to hear Him and how to know Him on His terms. So through those processes, we are learning to depend on Him. And then the projects He assigns us are to teach us how to rule and reign here on this earth as sons of His, as co-inheritors, as joint heirs. So, in a sense, in the past, what we've had a tendency to do is make finding our purpose this great mystery, that once we find our purpose or our calling, then it's our job to do it. And when we receive a word or something or come up with our purpose and our calling and we start doing it, when things go wrong, we figure, well, maybe we've missed our purpose and calling. So we want to be very clear about the distinction, and we'll be getting in closer, going through a particular evaluation of some of those things in our Thursday series down the road, because we want to talk about ministry and what that, you know, looks like within the body. But for now, just really be encouraged that where you are is exactly where God wants you to be. That it's His responsibility, He says it's His responsibility, to make Himself known to us. And as He does that, He will assign us tasks. He will give us things to do so we can learn how to be ready for everything He has for us. I'm reminded of that the Karate Kid movie, where the boy goes to the karate master to be taught karate. And what does the master teach him to do or instruct him to do? He gives him his car to wash and then wax. And we all know that wax on, wax off. And then he has him clean other things and do other things. And at first the kid's angry and, you know, what am I over here for, just to clean up your house? And then what he learns is that those skills that he's been developing and the muscles will be necessary to input. Now all he has to do is transfer them to the task that he's learning to do, the karate. It's the same thing with God. When God is teaching us patience, or when he's teaching us to boldness, when he's teaching us to do our own research, to not give up, to ask questions, when he's teaching you, whatever it is he's teaching you, it's so that it can then be applied to whatever he has for you, ruling and reigning. It's making you ready for what he has for you in your future. So don't take it lightly, whatever it is. If it's important enough to God to be teaching it, it's important enough for us to be learning it. And that's really the bottom line. So if you're, you know, if you find yourself drawn to other things but keep on coming back to maybe something very simple, you know, being consistent about something, or, you know, finishing a particular project, that may seem like a little thing to you, but if it's important to God, it may be critical down the road that it not be hard for you to stick to something until it's done. And we've talked before about how each one of our temperaments, the way God puts your soul together, your mind, will, and emotions, is unique and distinct, and has strengths and weaknesses. And we have a tendency to live out of our strengths and hide our weaknesses. But God doesn't do that. He's not trying to change your temperament. He's trying to develop skills so you will not depend on your temperaments. For instance, if left to our own devices, a lot of people, out of their temperament, would never get up and go to work. But over time, they've realized that in order to make money to support their family, they have to get up and go to work. They have to be there on time. They have to, you know, be, you know, prepared. So that's a habit and a skill that most of us have developed, that we get up at a certain time and we go to work and we don't think about it anymore. But now when someone's moving from college to their first job, that can be a real tough transition, because all of a sudden, every day, they have to get up at the same time and every day they have to be to work at the same time. And then that's something that they learn, and then it's no big deal. So we look at those transitions as if we are learning what God has on our table, on our plate right now. We don't need to understand how it's important. We don't need to evaluate or judge. If it's important to God to be teaching you how to do something, it's important for us to be learning it and just trust that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he has in store for you. He knows what he has in store for us. And he knows what he has in store for the world. Let's not get into this mentality that we are responsible for what goes on in our lives, or that we are powerful enough to not live up to God's expectations. You're not that strong. You know, to think that world events can be changed because one person didn't pray. You know, and when people say, well, not enough people prayed seriously, you know, for instance, in the last elections or in, you know, and during, you know, critical world events, earthquakes, you know, we always attach, you know, terrorist attacks, we attach judgment. This is the judgment of God, or this is because we weren't under his protection. Now, for us to think, basically what we're saying is that God has a magic number. You know, and if we don't meet it, he has, whether it's a number of number of people, magic number of people praying, or the emotionalism involved. You know, what people call fervency is really just emotionalism. And we are supposed to move God by our emotionalism. And to think God is moved by that, I think we're really missing his character. And we're cheating ourselves. Because we're failing to allow God to be God. So, and by having a magic number, we're saying, okay, he's got to have, or maybe it's a percentage, you know. Maybe someone has this all worked out where the percentage of Christians on this earth compared to the number of non-Christians on this earth, if we aren't praying, whatever that means for any particular group, then God isn't going to move or is going to bring judgment because we didn't stop him from bringing judgment. And when you really stop and look at it and think about it, what it means is God is vindictive and petty and childish. You know, because you didn't say the right thing, God's going to kill you. Because you weren't emotional enough, God's going to kill you. Or he's going to wipe out, you know, California with an earthquake. Or whatever. And what does that tell us? It tells us more about our perception of God than it does about him. If anything, it's a testament to his patience with us. But we know he's a jealous God. And what we know does bother him is that when Christians misrepresent him. Now, we misrepresent him that how he feels about people, how he feels about the times and seasons, and what he thinks about both sinners and saints. And when we have not experienced who he really is and have that confidence of how much he loves us and accepts us and values us right now, and when we don't realize that the reason other people don't believe him is because it's not their time yet and they can't help it, once we realize that, we can let him be him and we can be exactly where we are right now and we can be focusing on what we are to be learning right now. Okay, so success is learning to depend on him by doing whatever it is he has you to be doing right now. And letting it go at that. You know, we don't want to be thinking that our success as a Christian is going to be evaluated by how many people we lead to Christ. Or if we ever get into full-time ministry. Whatever that is, or, you know, you fill in the blank. Those are lies. And they will distract us from the rest that God has already provided for us. And that he wants us to come and sit with him in the hammock. And just, if he wants to say something to us, fine. If not, that's fine. He wants to spend time with you. And when we resist that, we are resisting him. We're saying, we know better. We know more. And his patience is so much greater than ours, which is such a good thing. But remember, as a spirit being, you have already agreed with everything with where you are right now. And don't worry about your past. Okay, where you are right now, the only decision you can make is what you're going to do in the next 5 minutes. You know, and we're learning to plan and to strategize and to develop those long-term and the short-term goals. But really, each one of those goals and purposes and projects and plans and strategies are implemented and developed in the next 5 minutes. So what does that do? It keeps the future from robbing us of our present purpose. It keeps the past from robbing us of our present purpose, because your purpose is right now. Okay, that right now just left. It's right now. It's a new right now. And this is how we learn to gain authority over time. It increases your awareness of God's presentness, not just his presence, but his presentness. He's communing with you in your present. You don't have to wait, and you don't have to overcome your past. This is where we develop judgment, confidence, security, authority. It's in the present. Now, God will show you things in the past, and he will show you things in your future. But we live in our present. And as we do that, again, we learn to rule and reign and live as the eternal beings that we truly are. Because we are not distracted by the past or the future. This is one of the reasons it's so important that we allow God to take us to past wounds and also prepare us for future events. When we let him clean these things out and put, if there's wounds in your past, trying to move forward is like trying to move forward with an anchor around your neck. You're not going to be able to do it. But he can take care of that easily. Likewise, without planning and preparing where he wants you to for your future, you'll just have to work really hard, too hard, when you get there. And you may miss out on the rest that he has for you going through your future. But these things are taken care of now in your present. And we do it not by going to the past or going to the future, but by bringing them here. That's how we learn to see things from an eternal perspective, is that we're not dredging up the past. We're going to the past, and we're bringing those wounds now, to the now, and we're dealing with them in a present tense. And we're looking at those things in the future, and we're bringing them to the not, okay, this is what it's going to be like, and visualizing, okay, I'm going to be, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. But then bringing it here, what do I do now? What can I do now? Lord, talk to me about this now. And that frees our past, and it frees our future, and we can live in this moment in time. And again, by doing that, we are then freed to be brought into that eternal life, which is above and beyond and of totally different character than time itself. Eternity and time are not at all related. Time was created. Eternity is a state of existence that only spirits have. Okay, we've talked about that before, so if you're interested in that and you want to find out more about some of our thoughts about time, just check back some of the other series on the other programs on Monday mornings, and we've got it in the slug lines that we're talking about time. Because it's helpful to realize that there are so many concepts that we take for granted. We assume this is how things look and are because it's what we've been taught, so it's what we believe. But just because you believe it doesn't make it true. So we are looking at, okay, God, what is your truth for me today? What do you want me to do today? What am I preparing for today? And that's where we can enter into that rest. We can be excited about our future because we see things through his eyes today. And we can look back at the past. When he shows us the past, he shows how he protected us and how he carried us and how those things in our past have prepared us for today. And we can be grateful. And that's always a good indication that all your wounds have been healed, is that when you do look back on your past, all you are is grateful and not regretful and not angry or resentful. And likewise to your future, that you're excited. You see God has great things for you and not fearful that you won't be ready. Or you won't know what to do. Or God's not going to be there. You know, now you have to take it from here. No, those are all mischaracterizations of who God is and who you are. So those are misbeliefs you want to take to him. Say, Lord, where am I missing you? And let him reveal himself to you as he is. You know, when he describes himself, he says, I am. Not he was or I will be, but I am. And in that I am is past, present, and future. Now, this is obviously foreign to the way we human beings have been living. You know, we've taken great pride in being able to multitask. And from humble beginnings, being able to reach great heights, you know, by pulling up, out of our own strength, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And so there's a lot of things we need to relearn. But with God, he is doing it. Because, again, he knows what you're going to need. So as you wait for him and learn from him and be patient with yourself, he will lead and guide you step by step, moment by moment, and you may not even know about it. You will find yourself in exactly the right place at the right time. Perhaps to accomplish something that he had talked to you about 10 years ago. But because it's in him, it is a present conversation. Now to do this, we must let go of everything we think we know. And let God bring to the surface the truth, his truth, his reality. Now, one of the struggles we have is we think that if we do that, we're open to deception. And we have to realize how naive we are to think that we can keep ourselves from being deceived. I don't care how much scripture you know, how, you know, much spiritual skill and knowledge you think you have. Only depending on God will keep you from deception. And if we're thinking that deception is believing something that's not true, guess what? You're already deceived. Because there are things we all believe that are not true. Simply because we don't have all the information yet. And when we think about what present-day Christianity here in the United States is, if we really started to compare it to Christianity in other countries and in other times, we'd even think, man, it's got to be a different God. So we're not going to be worried about that, though. We're not going to be distracted by doing it right. Instead, we allow God to reveal himself and be the God. What is from God will stand up to the light of day. You can, in your heart, you can test and question and evaluate. God, are you real? He will stand up to that. He will reveal himself. He will make himself known. For those of us who think that God loves us just because we are told he loves us, that's not enough. Don't settle for that. Ask him to reveal himself. Lord, if you're real, make yourself known. I'm willing to know you on your terms. I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to let you be the God. And so we learn to trust the Lord to lead us into all truth. We learn to trust him more than we trust the enemies, our enemies, to lead us into deception. We think they're equal. We think our enemies are on one side and God is on the other. And whoever's stronger, that's who's going to provide us information. Well, it's much more, we're on one side of the fence, our enemies are on the other side of the fence, and then God owns everything. God's controlling what's going on the devil's side, on our enemy's side, and God's controlling what's going on your side. It's like a game of chess. Only God's playing both sides. And he's on your side, so you're going to win. Since he's not only moving your side, but he's moving the enemy side. You're guaranteed a victory. But in the process, you're learning the skills and how to depend on God and the relationship that will bring you into that ruling and reigning situation and position here on this earth. So we're learning to trust God to lead us into truth and to teach us more than we trust the world, the flesh, and the devil to lead us into deception. So as we're moving forward into the holiday season, just really let him reveal himself in every situation, through every situation, and have that sensitivity, that awareness of the present time. Don't let the past bring you down. Don't let the future bring you down. It's just a distraction. God knows exactly what he's doing. He's not the equal of the devil. He created the devil. He's not bringing judgment. He already did that 2,000 years ago. Put your focus on those things that God is doing in your life. And let him bind up those wounds, restore those relationships, and move you forward in giving you hope so he can bring that hope to be realized in your present. So for the holidays, what we're going to do is, I've been thinking about how often we're going to continue the program through the rest of the year with all the holidays. And I think what we're going to do is we're just going to have our regular Monday and Tuesday programs. So this week will be on Monday and Tuesday, and next week will be on Monday and Tuesday. And then the following, I believe it's January 5th, we'll just pick up with our regular schedule then. Okay? So no Thursday mornings and no Saturday mornings for the next 2 weeks. Of course, if you've got questions, you can drop me a line, and I'll be happy to talk to you about that, about things. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great week.